Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Blessing or to bless. A blessing, also used to refer to bestowing of such, is the infusion of something with holiness, spiritual redemption, or divine will. The modern English language term bless most likely derives from the 1225 AD term blessing, which developed from the Old English blatsian, preserved in the Northumbrian dialect around 950 AD. Blessian from around 725 AD and Blessian from around 1000 AD, all meaning to make sacred or holy by a sacrificial custom in the Anglo-Saxon pagan period originating in Germanic paganism, to mark with blood. Due to this, the term is related to the term blot, meaning blood. References to this indigenous practice, blot, exists in related Icelandic sources. The modern meaning of the term may have been influenced in translations of the Bible into Old English during the process of Christianization to translate the Latin term benedicere, meaning to speak well of, resulting in meanings such as to praise or extol or to speak or to wish well. The definition of bless in the Webster's dictionary is number one, to make something or someone holy by saying a special prayer. Two, to ask God to care for and protect someone or something. Number three, to provide a person, place, etc. with something good or desirable. For us Christians, to be blessed means to be favored by God. Blessings are directly associated with God and come from God. There's about 7,000 verses in the Bible associated with blessings. We hear this term quite often when someone sneezes, God bless you. Or when someone who is associated with Christianity, have a blessed day. Or when we pray before a meal, bless this food, etc. It is a term thrown around quite loosely, and it is one that is very important to realize and understand in our Christian walk. We need to understand that we are blessed by God and how important it is to God that we know this. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We as followers of Christ are that great nation. We are of a holy race from God that was blessed through Abraham long ago. We are not ones to be waiting or expect blessings because we are already blessed by God. Galatians 3:9 through 14. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And Romans 4, 1 through 25. You guys could all turn it, this is kind of long. Chapter 4. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of a man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It is not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it is credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Being a part of God's great nation requires some responsibility on our part. We, being as blessed as we are, need to bless others just as Jesus did when he walked on earth. His Holy Spirit will guide us in doing so, so there is no gray areas in whom we should bestow a blessing on. So, where did God bless you come from when you sneezed? National Geographic reports that during the plague of 590 AD, Pope Gregory ordered the unceasing prayer for divine intercession. Part of his command was that anyone sneezing be blessed immediately. God bless you. Since sneezing was often the first sign that someone was falling ill with bubonic plague, by 750 AD, it became customary to say God bless you as a response to one sneezing. So Stephanie was in a store a few months ago and a lady sneezed. So to be nice, Stephanie said, God bless you. The lady turned and said to her, no thank you, why are you saying that? Stephanie said, God bless you. And she said, no thank you, and walked away. Can Can you imagine how Stephanie felt when she was just trying to be nice to this lady and bless her? Luke 6:27-31, Jesus said, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for all those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The opposite of a blessing is a curse, and it directly relates to some of the verses we have already read. In Galatians, we read, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." We cannot do this. Once again, we cannot do this. It's impossible. But we can obey the Holy Spirit because He lives in us. He is with us the moment we accept Jesus as our Savior. Deuteronomy 11:26-32. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse is if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from what I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road toward the setting sun near the great tree Zamora. In the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah, in the vicinity of Gilgal, you are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land your Lord, your God has given you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. Our decision-making should be based on being obedient to God's will. Jesus tells us in Mark 12:29-31, God's two most important commandments, commandments that expressed what Jesus did when he was here on earth, commandments that not only bless God, but bless others also. Verse 29, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second one is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no commandment greater than these." There are times when we want to curse everyone. So many people annoying us all the time. But when we take the time to remember who we are presented with a greater outlook than the one that we have. In obedience to the Holy Spirit, to love the God who made us and saved us, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we will be surprised at how things turn out in everyday life in tough situations. To the world, it is a sign of weakness to trust the Lord or to be overly nice to others. We are taught to win at all costs, eye for an eye, cut that guy off, or go slower when he is riding your tail. Doing what our Father wants us to do and getting out of their way or extolling a blessing is the right way. Psalms 1:1-6. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." God has a plan for the wicked, and we are here to show them what it's like in God's kingdom, not act like them or feel terrible when they hurt us. They did it all to Jesus, so he really does know what it is like. Paul tells us to rejoice in our sufferings, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I know when I'm suffering, it usually comes all at once, one issue after another, until I realize I have no choice but to give it all to God and actually meaningfully ask him for some help. That inner peace that the Holy Spirit gives me is so wonderful. I can rejoice because I know the Lord is with me, covering me over every situation. When I think I can tough it out, my situation usually worsens. We are God's light to this dying world, and it is in our nature to bestow blessings on others when we are being obedient. That light shines in us comes from the Holy Spirit, just like the pillar depicted in Exodus 13, 21, and 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. We're reading through Exodus right now with Ted, and as we read each chapter, we see all the terrible things that the Israelites did to God. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They complained. They made false idols. They didn't want manna anymore, etc. But God's pillar of cloud and pillar of fire never left them, just like the Holy Spirit. The blessings we receive from God are big and small. I know I need to take time and thank him for each one, because there are so many that I take for granted. When I feel cursed by people, I think of what they did to Jesus and what Shimei did to David when David fled from his son Absalom, who had won David's kingdom over for himself deceitfully. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you're a man of blood. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zerah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. David accepted the curses thrown at him and his men and calmed his men down, telling them to accept what God was allowing to happen to them. They made it to their destination, and David was refreshed. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there who teach prosperity and give their congregation false hope on blessings of God. Our God lays it out plain and simple. A lot of the references prophesied in the Bible about blessings and prosperity are in the heavenly realm, not the earthly. We have roughly 80 to 90 years on this earth, and I know from experience that a lot of those years are trouble-filled. Job 5:17, blessed is the man whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. And in John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things that so in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And to conclude, Jeremiah 17:5-8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.